Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. Portals to the truth include HagmannReportLive.com. That's HagmannReportLive.com. After a little blip, it's up and running very well today. I learned my lesson yesterday, you know, in the back end of things. I figured I would do my due diligence and update certain things and as requested, and I'll tell you something. I thought it was a conspiracy. I did. I looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness, what happened? Because everything, the entire complexion of the back end of the website changed. I was lost. I couldn't upload things and I couldn't put in popular segments. But now, rest assured now, after Eric the Tech has come to my rescue and bailed me out of the muck and mire of the zeros and ones and the digital digressions. It's up.
Don't folks. Push buttons.
Don't push buttons. See, you know, I'll tell you, they once had a dog collar on me, a shock collar, and it's like the electrical fence around your home, but it was around Eric's space station. The control room, actually. We have, you know, I'll tell you what, we actually have a control room. And at some point, it's going to be moved several feet with soundproofing and such, but that's something Eric's, you know, going to be doing. But the little shock collar and not a lot of press buttons. But having said that, HagmannReportLive.com. Love to see you there. Of course, please get your information from there. Bookmark that website. That's where the program descriptions exist. That's where the full episodes exist and the popular segments. Now, since subsequent to me learning a whole boatload of stuff, you're going to see that really flourish in the coming days. You will. The other website, of course, HagmannReport.com for news information, contributing articles and reports and such. Very important as well. But HagmannReportLive.com and HagmannReport.com. Folks, I just want to extend a plea to everyone out there. By the way, to the fine family in New York State, you know who you are. Far East, you know who you are. Very nice couple. I just want to say this. I received your correspondence by way of postal mail and working on getting the Israeli guest on our program. So just I want to thank you for that, but a plea that I must ask all of you. If you have the means to support the Hagmann Report, I ask that you do. HagmannReport.com. There you can become a Patreon member. You can support via PayPal. I don't often ask for support, but we are looking at expanding our reach. And of course, you know, just last weekend, Eric the Tech, myself, I joined a group of patriots in Chappaqua, New York, and did what we could to advance the articles of indictment, the indictment of Hillary Clinton. And you may say, well, that's just really, peeing in the ocean or peeing against the wind. And I'm being nice about that. But the bottom line is we have to start somewhere. So we need your help because we don't squander your money. We don't certainly sit on your money or buy unnecessary things. We do spread that out as well with different initiatives in which we are involved. So I ask, if you are listening to this broadcast today, and if you're not a Patreon supporter, if you don't support us by PayPal or U.S. mail, but if you have the means, and only if you have the means, please support us. And if you don't, say a prayer for us. That's all we ask. And another man that's worthy of your support and your business, especially with a product, my EMP Shield. Oh my goodness, have you seen this, folks? Have you seen this? Do you have one? Oh, this is a game changer. It's the world's first home EMP protection device. EMP Home Shield models. You know what? It's a very intuitive website, and it also has it explains things really nicely. So go to myempshield.com. Use the promo code Hagmann. We get credit for it as well. Plus, you're doing something good for your family. Trust me on that. All right. Now, having said all of that, I want to welcome to the one more thing. You'll notice that this is an abbreviated show today. You may say, what happened to the first hour? Folks, let me just tell you this. I was battling some bad things the first hour, okay? And I'm going to try to get through the second hour without battling. Oh, it's just, you know, I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm feeling better now, much better now. A little Alka-Seltzer and the Bromo-Seltzer, whatever you call that stuff. Feel much better. All right, with that, Stan Deo. StanDeo.com is the website. Stan, thanks for hanging there with me, and appreciate you joining me.
Hey, I hope you're okay.
100%.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Can't keep me down.
Yeah. I know.
I got to say this. I just got to say this. Did you ever have like, did you ever feel like you were pregnant? Waves of nausea, just, you know, oh my goodness. Oh, Eric the tech over there laughing. You know, it's just, you're just sitting there, you're working on your computer, you're doing reports or whatever. And man, just like this wave of nausea hits you. And it just kind of goes downhill from there. Anyway, that's kind of what happened.
Well, okay, not that I've ever seen that, but there have been times when I was doing an interview, live, where it would have been nice to have a 5-minute break and run to the head. Too much coffee.
Too much coffee. I get that. Yep. Yep. Yeah. And that's what my wife said. She said, you don't eat and you drink like 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee and you slam them down like it's water, and you know, no wonder. But at least you and I don't, you know, we didn't puke on the Japanese prime minister like George H.W. Bush did at the dinner that one time. So
wow,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
All right, well, what's on your radar? Yeah, go ahead, sir. Let's chat.
A lot of things. I still haven't been able to get pictures and correspondence back from that couple that went over to the Garden of Eden. They should be back in the country now.
Okay.
And when I get their permission, I'll put up their photos and hopefully we can get them to come online and talk about their experience over there, because it's good to have their set of eyes, not being prejudiced like I was, of course, having spent so much time proving it. And see what they have to say about it. I think one of the things they will comment upon is the about 400-foot drop that you have to go over the edge of the Kumanana, where the water of Eden came up to water the garden and to make those four great rivers around the earth. When you go down to see that, you have to go down very narrow, maybe 12-inch deep ruts that the livestock make coming up and down to get to the water down there. And it is a relatively tricky thing to go down because, the brush grows over the top of some of these ruts and you don't see them and you step on it and you fall down, or, you know. But coming back up after you've made the trip down and seen everything, the trip up 40 stories, you know, at a slant like that, for those of us that are kind of older and, not in the best of shape anymore, it is a real trial. And they did mention the fact that, wow, that's a trek going back up. So I'll be
40 stories. 40 stories? The equivalent of 40 stories?
Well, that's 400 feet. That's about right. Yeah. About 40 stories. Yeah. Man. So but it's a trek that's worth it. It's just that, you want to kind of practice a bit before you go.
Yeah.
We're designing new, decals that go on the side of the tour Jeep that Elion Tours uses. They want us to now advertise that as the Garden of Eden because of the interest being raised. And the Prime Minister, President, I guess it is, of Tanzania anyway, is trying to encourage the tourism to there, obviously for dollar reasons. But the fact that it is being recognized now as a Garden of Eden, not just Africa's Garden of Eden, but the world's Garden of Eden by so many people, is starting to focus people on that. And I'm going to be putting up the lecture I did on the Garden of Eden, the discovery of it in 2016, I think it was. Anyway, it'll be on my Patreon channel. I've done like you. I've started a channel that's going to have video releases that I do, right, that have not been shown or not been released to the public before, except one of them was in the DVD. But we're trying to set up a more regular interview with people during the week, not just your show, but you know, Rhonda, you know, the girl that right. does our PR, right? She and I are going to get on, and I'll be doing more frequent updates on the news and opinion of what's happening, like today, you know.
And that's, by the way, I'm trying to do the same thing. And you know, that's, it takes a lot, doesn't it?
It does.
People think, well, oh, you just sit down. But no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And please. And I'm going to keep track, of course. And Patreon members, folks, Stan Dale's got a Patreon channel. Make sure you check that out as well. Just go to standale.com and make sure there's a link. I believe I clicked on that via your standale.com.
Slide 55. Well, yeah. And also on our show images page here, slide 55.
There it is. Okay.
It does cost us. I mean, you know, cameras, software, computers and stuff that you have to set up for a studio. I didn't realize quite how much until we got into it, but, and that means that you've got to, get out of pajamas more often during the week. Oh gosh. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That's the one.
There it is.
And it's Stan Holly Deo. I think Stan Holly Deo all run together is what they put it at, but you can see it there in that link. Hey, listen, let's get to some of the current events.
Hang on, Stan. We got to get that up. Yeah. We got to get the number of Patreons up to 100. Let's do that, folks. Let's make it a goal. Let's get that up to 100. Come on, guys. We can all get it up to 100. All right. To the listeners and viewers out there, Stan's Patreon channel, the most, in my view, the most deserving man researcher out there, deserving of that. Let's get that number of Patreons up to at least 100. And this is the 4th of June. Let's do that by the 5th. What do you guys think? We can do it. Okay, Stan, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've got like 13,000 followers over on YouTube, and maybe, you know, 20 of them have come across to the Patreon website. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to be putting up things there that have never been released to the public. Right now, what's going up is my testimony that I gave to Dr. Greer's thing on the UFO Disclosure Project in 2000. Yeah, 2000 it was. And since they didn't use it, I'm now putting it out in 20-minute segments so you can listen to this one and, you know, while you're driving and then pick it up later. But then I'm going to have segments with an interview I did in a studio with John Schuessler, the former head of MUFON, about several things. I was trying to see if he would share any more with us, you know, because he was the spaceflight operations director for McDonnell Douglas on the shuttle. And so he had a lot of things to share, I think things that I have not ever released yet. And that's going to be coming next after this. And then I'm going to put up the lecture in series on the discovery of the Garden of Eden. It's still available on DVD, but I thought breaking up into short segments like this would be easier for people to just listen to on their phone or, you know, their iPad while they're working or whatever.
Have you gotten any scholarly blowback saying, oh, Stan Dale's wrong. That's not the Garden of Eden.
Oh, well, I've gotten rather irate emails from other people who decided that they knew where it was and they hadn't really done their homework. And so some of them I answer, some of them I don't. But I try to point to the facts that they need to study. And that's why I'm going to put this up on the internet now, because I have gotten a number of emails that say, oh, it's in Iraq or, you know, it's in this part of Israel. It's just been covered up. And they just didn't follow all the clues, every one of them, that's in the Bible about the location of the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
Once they do that, like I did, and go to the old Hebrew, use the old translations, they'll see there's no other place for it to be. I mean, it is there. It is the Garden of Eden. And when I found the last part of it, last year when Jared and Christina and I went over there to find the source of water that came up out of the land of Eden, up through a volcanic vent, which was really like a fountain of water that came shooting up in that area. When we found that and realized that it was real and it's been operational for thousands of years, even though it's not at the same volume, that cinched the deal. As far as I was concerned, it meant everything coming up out of the land of Eden, as it says in the Bible in ancient Hebrew. So I don't care. I mean, I've had a number of people comment on the location of Atlantis, saying, oh, you're full of dust. You know, it's down under the ice cap. And again, they didn't do their homework. And I've had the oil company guys over in the Middle East say, you're right. That asteroid did impact India and push it up and to make the Himalayas. And it did cause the great flood and tsunamis and all kinds of things. But it didn't submerge every mountain on the planet, only mountains in the region, in Haeretz, in that region. It sent tidal waves around the planet, around and around and around. And they could never find that asteroid. I found it for them. And they said, now we understand why there was 2 miles of seabed over the top of Oman. You know, it was from the impact of that that tilted what was Atlantis and sank it for a long time until it started to weather down. Anyway, I'm getting on my
thank you for that, because generally speaking, from what I've seen and from your research is very comprehensive, and it's interesting how you approach it from not I have a theory, and then you try to build evidence. You take the evidence and come out with the facts as you've come out with. So that's a good thing. So, okay. All right.
I remember when I was doing that, preparing that lecture on the Garden of Eden discovery, I had to use Google Earth and go down to such a level, fine level close up that I followed rivers. Some of them were dead ends, but I followed rivers mile by mile, and I must have followed thousands of miles, you know, mile at a time, scooting down to see where it went. Was it the one that was the fourth river, the third river? And there was a lot of hard research in that without flying over it in a plane to prove these points. But it's now, I mean, it helped me locate the rich gold mine of Solomon on Madagascar in that cove on the northeast side. And it's still a rich gold source today in that it's alluvial gold that's washed down from the granite mountains there. And gold dust, you know, is still being panned, you know, by children they hired to get the gold out of the rivers there. And that was probably the most, the highest quality gold that that Solomon got in his travels or where his ships went. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject. I want to talk about today. We've got President Trump and Melania over there with the Queen and with the retiring Prime Minister, Prime Minister May. And I watched it sort of, Holly. It was just a really encouraging thing, and it triggered a memory that in my studies of ancient history, the coronation seat when they crown a regent of England, you'll see a picture of it in slide 57. Underneath that crowning seat, the throne, is a large rock, a limestone rock. And it is the legendary stone that was brought to England from Israel. And it's the stone that Jacob was sleeping on when the angel came down and had the wrestling match with him. And then because Jacob defended Israel against the wrestler, the angel, said to it, from now on, you're going to be called Israel, not Jacob. You're going to be called Israel, which is an ancient Hebrew command, which says Israel, make straight the pathway of God. And that's what Israel has become. But this stone has traveled. It's over, you know, in Scotland, Ireland, whatever. There was even a duplicate made, and they think this might be the duplicate because they buried the real one to keep people from stealing it, being the legendary stone. Now, okay. There's a society that's been in existence for 100, 200 years called the British Israelites. And it says that the two sons of Joseph, not Jacob, but of Joseph, who was in captivity in Egypt and then became a regent there, or deputy regent of Egypt, he had two sons while he was there, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they say that Ephraim is primarily the people of the United States, the European people, and Manasseh is English or England. And they identified Ephraim as the brother of Manasseh, who would exceed in strength and power the Manasseh. So we are stronger than England at the present time. But it's odd. I mean, we're so close together. We're like family. And I saw that in Theresa May and Donald Trump. They had this closeness and affection that was really real. And I just thought, wow, I wonder if this is correct. You know, there's people that say that this stone isn't the deal and that Ephraim and Manasseh aren't us. But we are a very unique genetic structure, both English and American. And it just struck me, people ought to research this and see for themselves why they use this stone to crown the regents of England. It's just really quite intriguing.
And the story on that can be found at ancientorigins.net or slide 57 on the show images page. Click on the text for that. Interesting.
Yeah. There are a lot of little things like that that I've picked up over the years, and I'd completely forgotten to mention that until I saw the two of them in their press conference, and I thought, wow, they are like our brothers, really. And, they did say when President Trump was being taken into number 10 Downing, and they were shown various, artifacts or things in there historically. One of them was an original copy of the Declaration of Independence. And they did mention there, one of the hosts said, so United States revolted against England and formed the United States, or the colonies, the 13 colonies, which, by the way, is like the 13 tribes of Israel because of Ephraim and Manasseh. And then they had the Civil War, I guess you call it a Civil War, where we broke free, the Revolutionary War, we broke free from England. And then England came back a few years later and invaded us again and burnt down the White House. Right. And then now we shake hands and they have a copy of it there, and we're family again. It was like a family feud that caused all this. And we're still leading lights in the world, major powers in the world, and the way it's going, or have been anyway. That may be about to change, but it just clicked. Anyway, enough of that. Some interesting things. Slide 52. Kushner says to visit, that was probably a week ago, to visit Jordan to discuss Bahrain, and there's a conference there, and over this peace treaty he's trying to negotiate on behalf of the president, President Trump. And I saw Jared Kushner come out of number 10 Downing after everybody had gone over to where the press conference was. The camera was still sitting there on the front door, which only had one guard there, and then all of a sudden out comes Jared Kushner with, I guess his secretary, and he was on his way to Brussels. So he's been getting around like crazy over there, trying to get this peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians and the surrounding Arab nations and others that ratify the agreement, trying to get it pushed to occur. One of the things that he's been saying, and others have too, is that Israel has got to get their act together and elect a prime minister. Right now, they're still up in the air because President or Prime Minister Netanyahu could not form a government. He couldn't get enough of the votes of the other parties in there to have a government. I'm not sure. I think it might have been 5 seats or 6 seats short. So now they're going to have another election to try to figure out who's going to be the prime minister. And the thing is, the peace treaty should be done while Prime Minister Netanyahu is in power. That he's been part of the major agreements, but it's, if the Israeli parliament doesn't get their act together, then we can't have the peace treaty. And I look at Mohammed bin Salman. He's not on a slide today for a change, but he's a prince. And if he's going to be the prince of the covenant, then it needs to be done before his father formally retires and crowns MBS as the king of Saudi Arabia. We also have another potential on our Antichrist page on slide 13 is Jared Kushner, because he does have a line that takes him back to the tribe of Dan through the migrations that occurred after, Israel was broken up and scattered. His family name comes from that area, from northern Israel today, even near the Golan Heights.
And the lineage is so incredibly important, biblically at least, because correct me if I'm wrong, we have an idea of the, or is there biblical evidence to support the, or to contribute to the theory of the lineage of the Antichrist at all, or is it extra biblical to consider the lineage of the Antichrist?
No, it's it is biblical, and he shall leap from from Dan, and that, we don't know. Dan was kind of like where the Golan Heights is now, because they had to move because they grew to be so big. And Mohammed bin Salman, it's a weak link to his lineage because, it went back to an Israeli trader near Basra, I think. But one journalist about 3 or 4 years ago tried to write and release a report saying that Mohammed bin Salman was really Jewish from the tribe of Dan. And the guy either got locked up or killed, and his book squashed. So I don't know whether we can say that MBS is from the tribe of Dan, but the Bible does say that the Antichrist will be leaping forth, like from Dan. And that is not territory that Mohammed bin Salman owns at the moment, or is, or Saudi Arabia. But, it could be for Jared Kushner, because the migration of their family, Kush was where they went, which was ancient Iran, and their family were furriers. And you could trace the migration pattern back to the Golan Heights, which was ancient tribe of Dan. So these are things that I throw out. We're not going to identify the Antichrist, I don't think, until the rapture occurs, whenever that is. But as Paul said to the Thessalonians, why are you worried about missing the rapture? Because has the man of sin been revealed yet? So until that happens, which at the moment looks like it's got to happen pretty soon, because we've got Jared kind of like a prince in the wind who advises his father-in-law, who is in essence like a king at the moment, the leader of our country. And then you got Mohammed bin Salman, who is really a prince in the shadow of King Salman at the moment. So I think this has to happen fairly soon. And this peace treaty in Daniel, it says that the Antichrist will come to power with a small people. Now, it didn't say a small nation. It said a small people. And the Palestinians are not a nation. They are a small people. And that treaty is with the small people and the surrounding countries and Israel. So it bears watching closely the rest of this year. I think things are going to happen reasonably quick. Anyway, yeah. Now, slide 53 is about Saudi Arabia's nuclear plans. And right now in Riyadh, the nuclear plant is being built. And I'm thinking the United States is probably helping a lot. I think Iraq will as well. Sorry, Iraq, not Iraq. Pakistan. They will probably help them with their nuclear aspirations as well. But having them develop nuclear weapons, there's a shot of the plant area there in Riyadh. It's called King Abdulaziz City, but that's in Riyadh, and that's where it's being built. This is something to watch. You can read the article there by clicking on the text. Things are moving toward nuclear confrontation that could accelerate a Palestinian people's acceptance of the peace treaty. Right now, they're holding back, and not just gently so. They got their heels dug in until something encourages them, like nuclear exchange between Israel and Iran, which then means that the Palestinians got to worry a lot. Now, let's see. Did you watch this unidentified Inside America's UFO investigation on the History Channel?
You know what? No, I did not, but I was certainly solicited to, but I did not.
Well, I tell you what. I know that the stuff, their lead story was probably from 2005. It's now been brought up to date with current interviews with the naval officers involved. But it shows that a former head of the latest UFO investigation thing the government has going, he resigned in essence saying, I feel it's time for me to come out and tell Americans what's happening. Now, he would not do this openly if there were a danger to his health, or imprisonment. Something is afoot telling me that they are now going to start making it mainstream news about the UFO cover-up and why, allegedly, and that they are here. That's what it's saying. The aliens are here. And it's going to be more of an accepted topic, which has to happen according to my hypothesis, which I presented in detail in the Cosmic Conspiracy book, that there is going to be a global crisis occur where the people of Earth, not the heads of government, the people will say, look, will someone bring us peace and security, peace and safety, right? That's what Jared Kushner is pushing forward on his peace plan, peace and security for the Middle East and the world. Now, this UFO program here is going to continue. That was episode one. And they are leading the charge into establishing a new world order to bring peace to the planet using the technology and guidance of the quote-unquote aliens. Now, originally, you know, I think after World War II that the Allies got together and said, look, our efforts to form a League of Nations and even the United Nations is not going to work because people can't agree on things. You know, even two or three of them can't agree on a cup of coffee and the flavor of it. They're United Nations. And Hitler failed to force people into a global nation state. So we've got to look at a way to fool them. And that was alternative three, which I've talked about before. And that was to let the world get to the edge of total annihilation from nuclear war and weather disasters and asteroid impacts and famines and things they can't control, and then bring in, you know, our either manufactured or, you know, fabricated alien brothers or real ones. And since they come from off the planet, allegedly, their form of government seems to work. They have the formula for peace, and people will allow them to appoint a human to head up a global new world order. Like the Pope is coming out outright and saying, we don't need nation states anymore. Break the borders down. We need to have a global world order, new world order. And he's just openly, you know, pounding that into people, trying to force America, bring your walls down. We want North America and Central America and South America and Canada. We want you all together, you know. I think the official Clover Road map puts United States and Canada together, and maybe Central America and South America together. But whatever, that's on page 200 of my book as well on the map. This show tells me that these alleged whistleblowers that they're showing in shadow, they don't show their face, but they disguise their voice. But yet these people in their testimony, they say, oh, I was a member of such and such squadron on the Lexington or the Abraham Lincoln, aircraft carrier, easily traced by the government. Right. This is just drama.
Right.
But they're doing it as though it were a big secret being released. And more people now in mainstream are starting to say, well, maybe this UFO thing really is true. And I'm going to be doing my part to warn people in my Patreon videos, warn them this global new world order is coming, and watch for the quote unquote alien solution to the problem after the Middle East just kind of comes apart. So I suggest you watch the show and understand they're guiding us toward the concept that the aliens are here and can we get help from them. So just mark that in your thing and watch the History Channel on that unidentified Inside America's UFO investigation. I put a link to it there in the text so you can get to the History Channel and read more about it. Anyway, that's
Cosmic Conspiracy that you wrote, my goodness, almost a half a century ago. It really emphasizes that possibility or that potential. So,
yeah, 41 years, I think, 41 years ago, 20, yeah, and still selling. I mean, we've got back orders out the wazoo at the moment. I've just had to print another printing. And Holly says, you know, you ought to write an update to that with all the stuff that you've found out since then. And so I'm thinking I might do that if I can squeeze the time in between that and radio interviews and
everything else, right?
Yeah. I think you understand the problem.
very well. And folks, I'm going to tell you, when you know, guys like Stan Dale are busy 24/7. So, yeah, we have a saying here. I can't say it on air, but if you put a handle of a mop somewhere, you can mop the floor at the same time. And I'm not going to tell you where the somewhere is.
All right. Well, we used to say tie a broom to your backside and sweep while you're doing everything else. Don't waste time.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, and that's true. Hey, look at slide 49. Now, this happened 2 days ago to us here. We have a program called Weather Radar or something like that on our iPads. And look at slide 49. Click on the picture. Now, this is in New Mexico at Guadalupita. And let's see. That's not all showing the bottom of that. But anyway, if you look at the central bottom, yeah, there you go. Okay. Look right in the middle of that, and you see these purple arrows. Those are wind directions, okay? What I saw was, from this spot right there, the wind came up and out away from it. Like, it wasn't going in any direction except up. Those arrows went up and then out. I'd never seen anything like this before. Huh. Have a look at that. That's, you know, near, well, anyway, highway or state road 518 or 442 or whatever in Shoemaker. Anyway, if you look at that, it's an unusual pattern. I thought, well, that's just kind of weird. I guess these kind of things happen. Then to look at slide 50, click on that. This is just east of Denver. What do we have? We have, right in the middle of that, the same pattern, even better defined than the other. I found 7 of these upwellings, and I thought, well, it must be something wrong with, you know, weather radar that it's doing. It maybe a glitch on the radar towers or something, right? Right. So then slide 51, I go over, and I click on that. That's from that null wind, you know, type thing. There's a link to that program where I got it from. But on that day, at that time, I snapshotted where those upwellings were that I found. And there's 6 of them here with the arrows. There's more, but that's the 6 I located. And on the null wind map, there's a dark blue kind of dead spot, which, you know, on the other maps is showing an upwelling of winds coming up from the ground and then spreading out over the rest of the surrounding territory and joining in with the prevalent winds. So what caused this? I have no idea. I've never seen this before. What a crazy thing. Anyway.
So just so I'm clear on this, this would be suggestive of instead of vertical or horizontal winds, almost vertical winds? Is that what you're
saying? Winds coming from the ground going up. I mean, okay. It kind of reminds me of what they were talking about on the that UFO show about cosmic rays being discovered coming up from the South Pole, up from the Earth, not coming in from the sun or space. Cosmic radiation was coming up. Okay, that's not an average type thing. It's never been recorded before. So what is causing cosmic radiation to emit from the South Pole straight up?
Good question.
Doug's hot air.
My hot air, Eric said. Yeah.
Who's your friend? Yeah. Yeah, but I think the South Pole is going to be an action area for part of the release or disclosure program, the effort to let us know they're there or are returning, you know, to claim the lost territory down there. There's a lot of melting going on underneath the ice cap near the volcanoes that are under the ice cap. There are some tunnels they show there that are at 74 degrees, you know, average 72 to 74 degrees average temperature. You can actually walk down over the short sleeves under the Arctic ice cap, and they show tunnels that are shaped like that. The openings go down inside the ice cap, kind of like, you know, the shape of a flying saucer. There are just a lot of things that they show, even from like crash paths to something crash landed in one of the mountains and slid down and made this slide path. They're heading that way. Anyway.
Interesting.
Anyway, you know, I have been talking in the last few weeks, probably a month and a half, about the sunspots and CME type stuff on the sun. And this 25th solar sunspot cycle, you can see it in slide 43. Click on that. That's showing the sunspot activity dropping down into its low point in 2020, next year. And then maybe going back up to where the little blue box is and going to finish the cycle at 2030. When sunspot activity is that low in the low of the cycle, you wouldn't expect to see sunspots, coronal mass ejections, and flares, which can all produce what? EMPs.
EMPs, yep.
Okay, and so I've been bringing it to your attention because in this low sunspot activity, we've had 2 really huge ones, well, 3 now, form on the sun, and they go around. It takes 28 days for a full rotation for them to come back around. And in slide 41, you can see where I've drawn the arrows. I've had to redraw them because it seems that, you know, I couldn't calculate the rate at which the surface of the sun was turning accurately. But right now, between those two yellow areas on that, that bright spot over above, you know, that first arrow there on the left, that's moving toward where we're going to have it Earth directed straight at us. Mm-hmm. And if you look at slide 40, now that's late yesterday afternoon, and these white lines are the magnetic fields in the sun, which is kind of important to what we're talking about here. And these sunspots, large clusters of them that should not be occurring now, are occurring. And last time around, you know, 22 days ago, when it was facing us, it produced a shotgun effect of 4, maybe 5 coronal mass ejections straight at the Earth. It was like a halo of discharges straight at us. Wasn't strong enough to produce more than G1 magnetic field storms on the Earth, but if it had been a really strong, like, you know, G4 above type blast, it could have been the Carrington again, and it could have destroyed the electronics on, you know, a third of the planet, maybe half, and we would have been thrown back into the, you know, the horse and buggy or Stone Age. You know, 90% of our population, if America was facing it when it hit, would be dead within 30 days, according to the Air Force statistics. This is a clear and present danger. And I can't stress it enough. Even the Bible says it's going to happen. It's going to burn a third of the planet when it does happen. Happen until, you know, late tribulation period. You know, there's arguments to and from on that. But in this solar cycle, 25 now starting, in 2020 will start, that's an 11-year cycle, which 11.2 or something like that, which I'll discuss in a minute, which tells us, you know, if the tribulation period is like immediate or if it's coming in the next 3 or 4 years to start, we're in the period where we're going to see some unusual solar activity. So that's why I put this link up. Keep an eye on it. And if you click on the text during the week on slide 40, it'll give you the current position. If you can see in the icon there, you can see that the farthest right one, over the word magnetic, I think it is where I snapshot it yesterday. And if you look at it now, it's moved a bit to the right. Anyway, that's why I have you click on that so you can see it. That's, what is that? 603. Wow. And that's the current one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing to follow this every week. Wow.
Well, it shouldn't be doing this. And no. There are bubblings and rumblings under the surface of the sun, which I discussed last one, you know, was 22 days ago. And we had that dark spot underneath these hot spots that was like something rumbling in them underneath the surface of the sun that we're seeing there, you know, pushing up and then disappearing so rapidly. It was within 15 minutes, I think it was. What caused it? I don't know. And slide 45 is important too. There's an article underneath that telling about the sun's solar sunspot cycle is governed by the alignment of planets. The scientists discovered this. Oh, okay. In Stan's book, The Cosmic Conspiracy, I plot this, you know, over several decades, showing people that, yes, the planets' motions and their positions around the sun do control the sunspot activity. And Jupiter, being the most massive thing, controls it because it has an 11.8 orbital cycle around the sun. And periodically, Earth and Mars and Mercury and Venus, all of they line up close to Jupiter. And there's some alignments where Jupiter is 90 degrees ahead of us in the orbit. RCA did a huge study on this in the 50s, 1950s, believe it or not. So they're just now saying, okay, solar cycle is governed by the planets. And this article was released, you know, yesterday in the Tech and Science Newsweek section. If they'd have just read my book and believed it, you know, I had the data there, the charts, the numbers, everything. But that's, I'm going to have to next look at our current alignment with the sun and plot it, you know, every 28 days and see where we're going to be with one of these 3D modeling maps.
You know what, not that you need it, but further validation for cosmic conspiracy. There you have it, folks. You're exactly right. And it's interesting, the sun solar cycle governed by the alignment of the planets. You know, okay, and you're right. You did say this, and you've been saying this. You've been consistent. And boy, so this is news? Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and sunspots, what slide is it there? I think it's the one next to it, 44. If you click on 44, this is an article released May 31st talking about the National Geographic issue of 1967 where it says sunspots control Earth's climate, not carbon dioxide. Now, this was 43 years ago. Is that right? No, 33... And then 53 years ago, the National Geographic published this article, and this guy, you know, quotes it and explains the observations in it, and you know, with the ice melt and the glaciers and everything like that. Again, you know, I did say, and I've been saying in your program for several years, I'm sure, that sunspots are really what is causing our Earth climate change, this global warming. Because the global warming is occurring on Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, and you know all the other planets are getting it. And you know, no matter how hard I try to defeat the left wing argument that it's cow gas and car exhaust and stuff doing it, they're a contributor, a minor percentage. It's the sun's activity itself that is doing this, and I can't stress that enough. Mm. Anyway, it's yeah.
The politics of climate science, right? Or the, yeah.
You know, I still think that the reason that this has been allowed is that the deep state New World Order do not want to necessarily panic people, but they want to alert people early to these changes so that a global New World Order, first in science and technology, can be formed to save the planet from asteroid impacts. Save the planet from global warming. And these are things that some of them that people can mitigate, like NASA might be able to blow up some of the near Earth asteroids. And by legislation of, you know, exhaust emissions and various other manufacturing processes, that we can diminish the global warming by reducing the CO2 and carbon dioxide and all that other stuff. So it gives people a goal that can be achieved by human intervention if we get together and form this global initiative. It's all in favor of that. And that's why the problem being with the sun that is totally out of our control, totally, is not being pushed forward as the cause, because people would probably either riot or just lay down and give up because they can't control the sun. It's an act of God that's happening. And that's, you know, my opinion on why they're not, mainstream is not supporting or the real cause forward. But the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, behind the scenes, is not burying this. The Air Force is saying this is a problem, a clear and present danger, even worse threat than nuclear EMPs and nuclear war. So anyway, I'm on my soapbox again, but this is an issue that, like it or not, we're going to have to deal with in the next 10 years.
In the next 10 years. Okay. Wow.
I want you to look at slide 48. It's an MP4 file, and load it in. And I just kind of recorded as I was looking at this new application that the government has released, so that we can look at the magnetic field lines and the sunspots in color. And you can see in that there are reds and blues. Now, the red, let's call it the north pole of the sun, is one polarity, and the blue is the south pole of the sun. Now, I looked at this, you know, yesterday, and you can see how the red and the blue on the equatorial line there, on your left side of the sun, are linked together. But they're also, the blue is also linked to the top north pole as well, and the red one is linked to the south pole as well. So they're forming a magnetic link between the red spot and the south pole, between the blue spot and north pole, in addition to being a link between themselves. Now, this is rather interesting. You can, once it stops, you can take the little dot and move it back and forth and see. And I noticed another thing. The red or North Pole, it seems to be bigger in diameter and more prominent than the blue type magnetic field. And you can see in there that the major sunspot we're talking about on the left side of the screen is coming around now, but there are other smaller little blue south poles over in the lower right side that are coming up. You can see that they're just right there. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been writing another paper on magnetic fields and things like that and gravitational fields, but the north and south pole you would think would be the same everything, diameter, whatever. But if you look at slide 46, this was a still I took where I increased the number of magnetic lines so we could see the effect. And this is looking down on the north pole of the sun. That's the red. And from this angle, you can see that the red down at the equator in the top left and the blue are this connected group. You can see the lines coming between them there, the little arch lines. And you look at the north pole and the grid there, the little green line that kind of connects the top edges of the north pole magnetic field lines, those little spikes pointing in toward the center. Now look at that and then go back and click on slide 47, which is the south pole of this. Whoops, what's this? Mm. There are a number of the spikes missing, and they're actually smaller in diameter than those of the north pole of the sun. Now, I've long been saying that there's a difference between the north and south poles of a magnet, a subtle difference in size and spacing, and here it is on the sun. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Go from one to the other and see what I'm talking about. The grid line circle is there for you to compare it to. Same day, same, you know, magnetic fields and everything, just flipped it upside down.
Okay, we're looking at this and flipping this. Wow. All right. And just to be clear, I don't want to prove my stupidity and ignorance, but are we looking at an actual hole in the poles or where the poles are at, or is that just?
No, it's not a hole. It's where the magnetic field lines all come, focus in and dive into the interior of the sun.
Got it. Okay.
It's like on Earth's magnetic field. If we were to do a magnetic field plot of the Earth's magnetic field, it would do that too. It'd dip in at the poles, north and south.
Okay. I got it.
Wow. Strange stuff,
and you can be sure. You can be sure the difference. I'm just curious. How do you measure something like that?
It's a very subtle difference. If you look at the slide, what is it, 40? The red pole, 46. If you look at that, you'll see that it's not a regular circle. I might not have had it lined up as well as I could have, but I think I did. Yeah. And you'll see that on the lower right side, it does penetrate past that green arc circle.
Yes.
And so you have to try to compare between that and slide 47. The majority of those do all come in and to a smaller radius of the south pole. Why? Is because I think one pole emits the electrons that are coming out to form a magnetic field, and then they dive in at the other pole, you know, and it might be the reverse. It might be the red pole emits them and the south pole collects them. But there is a difference in the number or the thickness of the lines in the sun at the moment. That might be due to changes occurring in the sun, but it does kind of reflect what I thought before. The magnetic fields are not oscillating back and forth. They are polarized. They're direct, you know, like flows of electrons. So there is a difference from where they are emitted to where they are collected. In magnets, and in this case, in the sun.
Wow. Wow, very good.
Interesting study, anyways.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as I said, we don't have the people to guest on your show today that were just at the Garden of Eden, but I'm hoping to contact them this week, and we'll tee it up with you to see if we can get them onto Skype or phone or something so we can talk to them. But all right. I think that's covered most of what I've got to cover today. Any questions?
Out of all of the, I mean, I can see a convergence of events here between the sun's activity and, of course, everything you went through here. And it's interesting. I don't know. It just seems like this convergence of activity includes the revelations, as you had pointed out, began the program with or the segment with. You know, it does seem like disclosure's at hand, doesn't it? And and we're learning so much more, too, about the sun. We're learning so much more about other things, which opens up other questions, other avenues of questioning. I don't know. It's just, things are happening very rapidly. Not so much a question rather than an observation.
Well, okay. Yeah. And I guess it's a summary of what I'm talking about today. And that is why I'm going to have to get online with this Patreon. I don't know how you say it, but anyway, more frequently, because things are happening quicker than week to week with you.
Yes.
You know, I'll put my 2 cents worth in for people to listen to. I'm not sure how we're going to do it on Skype or something. I think Rhonda has a couple of ideas about that, and she and I are going to get on there and talk about it. Maybe 15 minutes a day, whenever we do it, and try to keep people apprised of, you know, what's happening so quickly that it's a week to week is too long to wait.
You know, sadly it is, and the more I follow what you do, and folks on the screen right there, and please, folks, if you follow the Hagmann Report, you know that Stan Day, of course, is one of the premier researchers in the world, on the planet. Folks, let me tell you something. Stay ahead of the curve, follow him, and click on the link to the Patreon, if that's how you pronounce it, Patreon channel. And sign up and support Stan Dale, and of course, be the first to get his reports. Stan, I you're absolutely correct, because so much in a week is you can see it in the images. And I'll say this in closing. I went back to, I think it was about 16 months ago, and I was watching a segment that we did. My goodness, the difference in topic subject matter is so right. I mean, it just, again, everything seems to be accelerating, moving fast, moving quickly, including the disclosure, including the peace process, and even the complexion of the Middle East is just so much different than it was a mere 16 months ago. It's just amazing.
You might, I didn't put this up again because Holly's already got it on her Earth Changes on our standio.com. If you go down about a third of the way down the page to the news. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, today is National Cheese Day, so I'm going to have nachos for lunch. But in Earth Changes there, she's got a map showing a FEMA drill. It's going to run several days for earthquake, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake, what it would and how they would deal with it in the New Madrid Fault. Either they're wasting government funds and time, or there is method to their madness about running a drill for a 7.7 in the New Madrid Fault. It's down toward Tennessee where they're looking at. But
Yeah, yes. I'm not sure that they're quick to. Well, I know they waste money, but I'm sure when you fit that in with everything that you've talked about today and they have been talking about, we should probably read something from this, and I think it'd be good to be prepared. And there it is. But yeah, National Cheese Day. Don't forget that. That's right. Wow, Stan, I can't believe how quickly time has gone here. We're at the end of the program. I want to thank you so very much. And folks, I would urge everyone again to support Stan Deo, his work, his projects, and get ahead of the game yourself by becoming a member of Patreon. Go to standeo.com, click on the appropriate link to Patreon. It's in the actually show images page as well, that box there. You can see it on your screen as we speak, and I do tomorrow. I hope to see that number up to 100 at least, or 200 or 500. But you know what? Let's get behind Stan Dale and Stan and Holly. Do just an incredible job. Stan, thank you so very much for all you
thank
do.
You. Thank you for having me, and for all you do to keep this avenue open for us.
It's a must. I'll tell you what, people miss you a week, and they'll revolt. Thanks, Stan. Appreciate it. Folks, that'll do it for me today. I want to thank you for joining me. And again, I apologize for the abbreviated show today. After this, I might put I'm not sure. I might put something else in place of this or in place of the hour. But if not, we'll see you tomorrow. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for your support. Have a good night.